Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
The people of Boston and everybody else in between, we're throwing it down.
SiriusXM channel 159.
The Twisted Tuesday
has begun. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack here this evening. I don't even know where to start, all right? But we've got Steve Merrill's going to be stepping up and in and kicking it with us. We've got Jeff Rusden's going to be kicking it with us as well. A lot of football talk on the show this evening. College basketball is back. Kansas gets it done against Michigan State, 87-74. The Duke Blue Devils have just beaten Kentucky, 79-71. The game creeps over the number of 148.5, 149. A lot of NFL news to get to. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are fined. Packers are fined $300,000. Aaron Rodgers is fined $14,000. You might as well have just fined Aaron Rodgers 14 cents. Like the only thing that's going to bother him about the $14,000 is actually, like, signing the check. Like, you know what I mean? It would be like Seinfeld signing those Japanese checks where it just hurt his wrist. Rodgers would be like, yeah, whatever. Although I've said it before and I've said it again, if I was a pro athlete and I didn't like the fine and stuff, I'd pay in pennies. I'd just pay some kid to just drop it off at headquarters. I'd tell him, listen, I owe the NFL $14,000. I'm going to pay you, like I'll literally pay you $1,000 to just go to the bank for me and get, you know, how many pennies is that anyways? How many pennies? Too many college basketball games. Too many numbers going on. Moment. How many pennies? Somebody tell me, how many pennies is Aaron Rodgers is fine in? Even though I think the fine should have been bigger. But nevertheless, you know, Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show again today. And if you don't watch the Pat McAfee show on our network, don't worry. You'll be able to see it on any other network. I don't know if Pat's getting residuals for this, but like basically whatever network you tune on. I tune on ESPN today. It's like I'm watching a Pat McAfee show. I'm watching Fox News. It's the Pat McAfee show. I'm watching CNN. It's the Pat. Like you flick around. It's like, hey, there's Pat. There's AJ. There's Pat. There's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is sorry that you felt that you were misled. That's the gist of it. I'm pretty good at reading between the lines. Aaron Rodgers basically spoke to State Farm and his people. And one of his exact quotes were, I'm not an activist. I'm a football player. I don't know, bro. You were quoting Martin Luther King a couple of days ago. Remember last week he said, I don't care if I get canceled by the woke mob media and everybody. Well, that took about 6 days where evidently you do care. Well, evidently, I don't. Whatever. The fine should have been bigger. We know where I stand on this. Whatever. I think Seattle are going to beat them. I think it's going to be 2 games in a row they lose, and I think they're going to be being on the road in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens, how it plays out. But at least Aaron Rodgers isn't being accused of beating the crap out of a woman like Dalvin Cook is. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people are bustling, but everybody else in between. We're kicking this the Twisted Tuesday. We've got a lot of stuff to break down here this evening. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in. Jeff Rusden's going to kick it with us as well. A lot of football talk. Real GM. Jeff is from Real GM. We're going to talk NFL football, NFL draft, Detroit Lions. There's props up. Will the Lions win a football game? What will the Lions do as far as the draft is concerned? The Michigan Wolverines. That's right. We have a lot of State of Michigan talk here tonight as the Michigan Wolverine basketball program tips off tomorrow night against Buffalo. We'll break that down with Steve Merrill. We'll take a look at the college basketball card with Mr. Merrill. But the Michigan Wolverines check in at number 6 in the college football playoff rankings. Georgia 1, Bama number 2. the Ducks. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 4, Cincinnati. 5, Michigan. 6, Michigan State. 7. And yes, I'm sure you're asking yourself, well, hey, didn't Michigan State just beat Michigan? Yeah, because they cheated. And the committee knows that. The committee knows that. Just for the record, not that it matters now, and it really the game doesn't matter. And I got to be honest with you. I told you guys, I told you all you people in East Lansing, enjoy inhaling the carpet and the couch fumes. As you guys like to burn your furniture when you win for whatever reason. I don't know why. You don't have any money to buy more furniture. Why do you burn your furniture all the time? But you know these kids don't have another couch. Right? So enjoy it. I love that the committee, and listen, do I agree with it? No, but part of me gets a chuckle out of it that Michigan State and Sparty beat the Michigan Wolverines 2 weeks ago, and basically the committee officially said tonight, we think Michigan's a more complete team. Like, you know, it's like, all right, Sparty, you had your fun. You had your Saturday afternoon in the fun. It is what it is. But I'll tell you what, Michigan are being given the benefit of the doubt. The question is, can Michigan beat Penn State? I'm not so sure they can. We'll break it down. We'll get into the game. The Ducks. People want to hate on the Pac-12. Hate all you want. The Ducks actually moved up a spot. Dalvin Cook. Crazy story with Dalvin Cook. All right? And the Minneapolis Tribune or whatever the hell the newspaper is called. They've got pictures. There's a woman. There's accusations. The woman looks pretty beat up. But he says that she maced him and she held him hostage for hours. This is Sports Rage. What? Bring it.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
Spider silk made from goat milk? It could save your life. Not science fiction. Fabric made of synthetic spider silk, stronger than steel or Kevlar, is being spun in mass quantities by biotech researchers at Utah State University by genetically modifying goats to contain the spider silk protein in their milk. Genetically engineered goat milk spider silk really has all sorts of amazing uses. Super strong automobile airbags. Bulletproof vests. Super lightweight high performance aircraft. Artificial human ligaments. Or ride a space elevator to orbit on an indestructible spider silk tether. Follow me, @GCapalbo, on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
You're listening to the voice of authority, actionable insights, and expert analysis on daily sporting events.
In other words,
information you can take to the bank. Stay tuned for more sports gaming strategies that are as
good as gold.
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
We let them off the hook. I thought the Duke Blue Devils were going to let Kentucky off the hook on a couple of occasions this evening. But the Duke Blue Devils cash a ticket. And it really is amazing, isn't it, that the Duke Blue Devils, listen, I was on them. You know how many times I blindly bet against Duke? You know how many times I blindly bet against Duke just because of it? I mean, hell, we filmed it. Me and Cam went to a gun range once, in which probably not the most politically correct thing to do nowadays. But We were in Vegas, March Madness, and we filmed it. We did, like, I don't know how they let us in, but we went to a gun range and we shot out a Duke logo during March Madness. Like, freaking Duke. They had, like, different targets and stuff like that. And so it's just amazing to me now. It's amazing to me now that
now that it's Coach K's last year, he sort of becomes a guy to pull for and cheer for. And it's funny because I remember last year, people, oh, I'm glad Duke's not going to make the tournament. Why? You don't like seeing good teams in the tournament? You don't like big drama? Even if you don't like them, like, it's entertaining to see them play in the tournament, right? Like, people are just jackasses, whatever, especially the modern sports fan. Like, they get dumber by the minute. So, but it is interesting, and I'm guilty of this myself, where I find myself, as I personally get older, and as sort of villains in the game get older, I go from really hating them to, like, appreciating them and then missing them after and then realizing, wow, man, well, that guy was pretty special. LeBron's a good example of it. How many years has LeBron been in the league? I don't know, seven, whatever years. How many years? 18 years, whatever the hell it's been. Whatever years he's been in the league, I probably spent, like, the first 10, 15 of them, like, really hating him. I didn't dislike, at first I didn't mind him, and then he turned into the whole decision stuff, and I take my talents to South Beach, and I'm a Raptor fan, and then Chris Bosh went and just sort of compounded, and then he terrorized the Raptors with the Cavaliers. It's like Tom Brady. Same thing. I was a Tom Brady fan in Michigan when he was the Michigan quarterback. I like Tom Brady, right? I've hated Tom Brady over the years. Like, I was at the front of the line, like, hey, suspend him forever. Deflategate. Now I look back, I'm like, Deflategate was the stupidest thing ever. Who cares? Like, it was the stupidest thing ever, that whole deflate thing. Except they did fumble a lot less than everybody else, but whatever. They just figured it out, and other people didn't. You know what I mean? That's, you know, it's one of those deals. And Coach K is a good example of that. I've spent a lot of my adult life, like, not liking Coach K and just hating Duke. Yet, it's funny now, and you saw, like, everyone cheers for him now, and it's like, it's going to be the farewell tour. Hell of a coach, intense dude, and we cashed a ticket tonight with him. And in fact, we crushed the college card tonight. We had Iona minus the points, we had Kansas minus the points, we had Duke money line, and we had Duke-Kansas over the number. So nice way to start the college campaign. So listen, man, every time there's so much stuff going on, Aaron Rodgers this and all that, the NHL is just falling apart, right? Like, the NHL, it's just constant. There's numerous teams in the National Hockey League with various investigations going on. They're all sleazeballs. And now people are calling for Bettman to resign. That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. But, the John Doe stuff, the John Doe 2 stuff, the Blackhawks are scumbags. The Winnipeg Jets are lowlifes for protecting their general manager. And now the Anaheim Ducks have sent their general manager home. Bob Murray has been called out for creating a toxic workplace, an environment, verbal abuse, which, you know what? This is where, see, I'm not, like, this is the problem with a lot of jackasses out there, and that's why we'd like to have Richard on last night. Everything's got to be the same and different, right? Like, you know what I mean? Everything's got to be, like, black and white, Republican, Democrat, liberal, not, everything's got to be, like, you know, one or the other. Right, and people just get boxed in, and then whether you're right or wrong, you have to argue some point that, you know, you look like a jackass about. But most people don't care about that now. So let's start off. Let's start off with the Dalvin Cook story here first. All right, and then we'll get into Bob Murray, and I'll, you know, Judge Morency will be the judge, jury, and executioner here. I'm not even going to wait for the alleged stuff. I'll just tell you the facts and what I think right away. So a Minnesota Viking running back Dalvin Cook allegedly abused a former girlfriend, causing a concussion during an altercation at his home last year. The Star Tribune of Minneapolis reports, citing a lawsuit filed. However, Cook's attorney, Dave Valente, said his client was the one who was assaulted by the woman after she broke into his residence, saying in a statement Tuesday night, saying that she later tried to extort him for millions of dollars. The Vikings have released a statement saying they received notification of Dalvin Cook's legal representative regarding a situation that occurred between Dalvin and a female acquaintance in November of 2020 led to an ongoing dispute between the parties. Upon learning of this, we immediately notified the NFL. We're in the process of gathering more information, and we'll withhold further comment. All right, in a separate statement, the league said it was notified by the Vikings, and it's declining further comment for now. The woman identified as Gracelyn Trimble, a sergeant in the U.S. Army. The newspaper said, according to the lawsuit, she flew to Minnesota to break up with Cook and get her belongings from his home when things allegedly turned violent. I can't see that happening. excuse me. She accused Cook of giving her a concussion, leaving a scar on my face, and taking me through hell. For the record, the newspaper's Twitter account just posted pictures of her with her face beat up and her sending a text message, Instagram message to Dalvin Cook saying, "You beat me up so bad I can't go home for Thanksgiving and face my family like this," essentially. And he said, "I'm so sorry, baby. I'll pay for any hospital bills. If you want to go to the police, I accept it." That's what he said. Of course, you know, in May, if those messages are real. All right, she returned to Florida after the altercation. All right, so, you know, you wonder, okay, why didn't she press charges? And, you know, you can't get into that, really, because maybe she didn't want to ruin his career and all this. This is where things take a turn here. All right, so that's her side of the story. That's the allegation. See, we give both sides. We're not like, you know, we're going to, you know, we give both sides, and then we'll look at the facts here. This is what Dale Valenti says, the attorney for Dalvin Cook. On the evening of November 19th, U.S. military sergeant, first class Gracelyn Trimble. See, I probably wouldn't highlight that if I was you guys. Considering that your client is a dude that has a prior behavior like this, number one, and is an NFL player, she's a U.S. sergeant. Right away, if I'm on the jury, I'm thinking football player, U.S. sergeant. Who has more credibility between the two of you? All right, so just, you know, great law thing here you wrote here, buddy. Great legal brief. Highlight the fact that she's a U.S. sergeant. All right, so right away I just think, all right, so she's pretty credible. Okay, she's pretty credible. First sergeant broke into the home of Dalvin Cook and assaulted him and two of his house guests. I know, because an NFL running back that's one of the best running backs in the league can get assaulted by a woman. Sergeant Trimble, why do you call her sergeant? God, are you dumb, bro? Just call her Miss Trimble. Stop reminding people she's in the military. It just makes, like, I don't know if, like, this lawyer thinks that people don't trust the military or something, but as I stated, one's in the military, the other one's Dalvin Cook. Who's more credible? All right, we'll get to the bottom of this after. I'm going to tell you right now. I hope whoever I'm playing in fantasy football has Dalvin Cook on their team. Bring it.
The morning after.
I have to give Carmelo Anthony a lot of love right now. He's 32-1 for sixth man of the year, and I don't know why. Jordan Clarkson has been horrible. He's not winning this award. Hero and Harrell all deserve to be in front of Carmelo Anthony. He's 32-1. You get that guy still in the mix, a month of basketball left, the hedge opportunities will make you blush.
It's the morning after with Ben Stevens. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network. How would you rather feel? Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
Just breathe, dude.
Or swimming in the warm waters of confidence that comes from having the winning edge?
We thought so.
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Well, too bad. Here we are. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Oh, man, I'm just loving, I'm just reading this. This is a, you know, you can, it's a documentary here on its own, a Dalvin Cook story here. So I am Morency. We are going to get into some picks, take a look at some odds. I got some cool trends I've found, too, I want to get into. So it's talking about Dalvin Cook. And, man, it's just, it's explosive, isn't it? Just on a daily basis. There's always something in the sports world, like, every damn day. Or just, you know, I brought it up last week. I said, man, there's a lot of death. And just a studio, you know, Alec Baldwin. Now you got this Astro World thing. And I even tweeted about this today. I gave my take on that, my uneducated take. But I don't know why the hell people are blaming Travis Scott. I saw a guy today on the news, okay? And they said that Travis Scott is on the stage and the artist has the best view of what's going on in the crowd and that he should have been able to spot things right away. There's 55,000 people there. I don't, like, evidently none of you jackass ever been on a stage or in front of lights before. He can't see, like, you know what I mean? He can see things and he can see a crowd or whatever. And another thing is, too, if he just thinks people are fighting, everyone's showing that Dave Grohl video of him stopping a fight. Dave Grohl, that venue was like a 1,400-seat venue. It was like no one in that venue. Dave Grohl shows a bunch of hipsters. What the hell is, how is Travis Scott going to supposed to control 55,000 people at a rap show? Come on. Right? People's made the rage always misguided. So anyway, so this story gets crazier. So Dalvin Cook, you know, she says, and there's pictures of her and text messages, blah, blah. She says that, you know, she got assaulted and she's suing him. Dalvin Cook says that he's not even denying assaulting her. She's not denying assaulting her. He says that she broke into his home. And his lawyer says the state of Minnesota applies the Castle Doctrine as it pertains to self-defense, which means when an intruder enters your home, you have the right to defend yourself. It says that she unlawfully and without consent of knowledge of Mr. Cook entered his residence. She gained entry into the residence with a stolen garage door opener. Upon entry into the residence, she immediately, without provocation, physically assaulted Cook, punched him repeatedly, and maced him. Maced him directly in the eyes. And then maced his two house guests. Well, Mr. Cook was trying to alleviate the burning from his eyes. Sergeant Trimble sprayed a second round of mace into his face and proceeded to arm herself. I don't know. So, well, he's trying to alleviate himself. So, in other words, he's trying to grab a gun and she grabbed it first. I ain't going to deny something crazy went on in there. All right? Something. I'm not saying it's a healthy relationship they got here. Sergeant Trimble then forced Mr. Cook and his guest at gunpoint to remain in the residence for the next upward of several hours. During this hostage situation, Sergeant Trimble trying to again assault a female guest of Mr. Cook. And Mr. Cook just tried to stop the attack. Sergeant Trimble was knocked to the ground and suffered a small cut above her nose. These facts are confirmed by these two independent witnesses. All right, now they go on. She has a prior history of violence in which they don't follow up with any, like, proof of that. All right, so you've heard both sides of the story. And I see, too, our boy Venture is very upset. He likes Dalvin Cook. So, because, yeah, Dalvin Cook, like, it didn't take me long. And ask Matthias, before I even looked it up, I was like, Dalvin Cook. I was like, let me just think about the Morency memory banks here with Dalvin Cook. I'm like, didn't Dalvin Cook shoot a girl with a BB gun when he went to Florida State? Like, just for fun? Like, remember, he was just sitting in his dorm room outside of a window randomly shooting students? Oh, that's right. During his freshman year at Florida State, Cook was involved in an off-field incident on three occasions. He was charged with criminal mischief after a BB gun incident that resulted in broken car windows. In July, according to an ESPN report, Cook was named as an associate in an assault of two men that the Tallahassee police investigated for allegedly branding a firearm at a neighbor. The incident took place at Dalvin Cook's house. I don't know. It seems like a lot of stuff happens at Dalvin Cook's house. Oh, that's right. We can't forget about in his sophomore year when he was accused of punching a woman outside of a Tallahassee bar after a confrontation, and he was charged with assault. Camera, yeah, that was right, you know. So, yes, Dalvin, I totally believe you, bro. I totally believe you. You're a badass kid from Florida that shoots people with BB guns, beats people up outside of bars. But this woman, yeah, I get it. Hey, listen, I ain't telling you that this woman's an angel. They clearly have. I'll tell you what happened in my own personal opinion. It's pretty clear. She's Dalvin Cook's with two other women. She was unhappy. She goes off. She maces him in the face. He knocks her out, whatever, and all then here we are. And here we are. And I just saved everybody a lot of speculation and law. So basically, I totally get it. Neither of them are calling the cops, Matthias. You know what I mean? Who's going to call the cops? Dalvin Cook ain't calling the cops, all right? He's got enough problems. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't want the cops going to his house, right? So Dalvin ain't calling the cops. She ain't going to call the cops. She just maced him and maced the chicks he's with. You know what I'm saying? So it's an instance, like I said. It's right out of a TV show. Things got crazy. And she's a tough chick from the military. So, you know what I mean? She wasn't scared. She comes in. I like how, well, he's trying to alleviate his eyes, she somehow got a firearm. It's like, I don't know, sounds like she grabbed a firearm that was around in the room, right? So I'm not saying that she's some little like angel that was walking down the street waiting for a bus and Dalvin Cook ran her over, right? I'm telling you what happened. She said she went to get her clothes to break up. He's there with two chicks. Things escalate. She maces him. He punches her. And neither of them call the cops after. They communicate after. She decides to sue today. There's the story, Matthias. And also, it does matter. Like, so let me just say, so I don't want to hear too, oh, that was a long time ago when Dalvin Cook did that. What? It was 5 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I mean, you guys remember that? The Florida State kids? He was one of them. They were shooting at students and stuff outside there. They were shooting BB guns at students on campus. I remember when he beat up people. And then, of course, like I told you, Matthias, right away, I said, Dalvin Cook's like been a legend and be hitting chicks for years, right? Allegedly assaulting women does not keep you out of the NFL. So I'm just telling you right now, that's how I see this. I don't, like I said, I do believe that Dalvin Cook got maced. I do believe that Dalvin Cook's girlfriends got maced. I do believe that he punched her. He ain't even denying it. Oh, she was in my house. And no one wants to call the cops. And whatever, Dalvin, you probably should have paid her a couple of $100,000 and you wouldn't have me and ESPN talking about you now, Matthias. That's the judge, jury, and executioner right there. But this ain't good. You're like the Vikings, like, I don't know. I don't see how he plays on Sunday. I'll tell you that.
Oh, he ruined so many fantasy players' dreams of winning a championship. Yeah,
I don't see. Like, if I'm the Vikings, I'm like, you know what? You got to sit this one out. You know what I mean? We need to look into this a little bit more. Because you roll them out, and then it gets worse, and then you got a real problem. And you just look like the biggest jackass, Matthias. Like I said earlier, I hope that my opponent has Dalvin Cook on his team this week.
You know, for diehard Falcon fans and for diehard football fans that are trying to crawl their way into the wild card playoff spot for that final spot, you think about that because, in my opinion, the Vikings were going to be probably that team that fought for that wild card. But without Dalvin Cook, I just think that that situation got a lot nicer for any team other than the Vikings trying to grab that final wild card spot. Falcons got a chance now, Gabe. They got a shot.
I just love the defense of some people, like, with, she's extorting them. It's like, as I said, so yeah, you believe a guy that went to college at Florida State, shot BB guns at people, beat people up, assaulted a woman. Is, yeah, his story, his version of the events is that he got assaulted by one woman and overpowered and held hostage for hours. Okay. Oh, my God. You know what, though? You guys are a lot like, there's an agent buddy of mine. We should get him on. I'll get him on this week, actually. Jeff Jankovic. He's on Twitter. And I was tweeting about this, and I said, dear God, these guys are just out of control. And he said, society's out of control. And I said, yeah, but, you know, I said, come on, man. I said, every damn day in the sports world. And he's an agent, all right? He represents NFL players, this guy. And he responded to me. I'll read you the tweet tonight. It was gold, actually. It was really funny. He basically said the NFL would draft the Unabomber if he ran a 4.3. He goes, indeed. He goes, many of these guys have red flags everywhere, but despite the PR lip service, teams turn a blind eye in pre-draft background checks. As I've said many times, if the effing Unabomber ran a 4.3 or was 6.10, he'd get drafted. Yes. Yes. I totally get it. I totally get it. Hey, listen. Whatever, man. I don't know. Like, put it this way, there's more with Dalvin Cook here than there is with Deshaun Watson. I've always said, I've always believed, though, personally, you can't get this. I've said this before. Oh, man, breakaway. Oh, how did he save that? The Ducks and the Canucks want a save by the Ducks. Oh, this is wild. We're tied at two as well. And yeah, and Matthias, you're a Duck fan. For shame.
Gibson with a huge pass.
Yeah, save that save. Right. Oh, here they go again. Score. Gibson again. Gibson again.
The Ducks game giving.
And here's another breakaway for the Ducks. This game is insane right now. The Ducks and the Canucks are literally just going breakaway and breakaway back and forth. Finish it off. I'm on the Canucks. Oh, my God. Now it's a 3-on-1. And the Ducks win. Ducks win. Ducks win. Take that, Emilio Estevez.
Sports professor Rick Carl inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your daily numbers game. Big week for Novak Djokovic, wins his 37th Masters title. Big accomplishments off the court as well. First, he stays one ahead of his big-time rivals. We know that's going to go on for a number of years. Second, he settles the score potentially, even though he doesn't say it, Medvedev, who beat him in straight sets at the U.S. Open, stopping his Golden Slam opportunity. Third, his kids get to watch his win and his family together, he says is really important. And fourth, he ends up number one in the world. All of his endorsements, all of his marketability is there. Notwithstanding a couple of issues, he is clearly the number one tennis superstar endorser on and off the court. Sports professor Rick Haro, Sports News Minute, Daily Numbers Game.
You were born with it.
It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just know
and think like you do.
It's made life fun.
Welcome home
to the Winning Edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Maybe it's the Thanksgiving Day game. What's your take on the Lions? Will they win a football game this year?
So I do believe they're going to win a football game, and some of the reason that I believe that is what happened last weekend with Jacksonville beating Buffalo, with Denver right after they trade Von Miller thumping Dallas. It is an any given Sunday league, and it hasn't been the Lions Sunday in way too long. But they are going to have a game. Look, they played well enough to win a lot of games. If they play the way they did against Baltimore, where they lost on a NFL record last-second field goal, play the way they did against Minnesota, where they lost on a 55-yard field goal as time expires, they play the way they did against the Rams, they're going to beat some teams. Not a lot, but some. The problem is that the softer games that they've had on their schedule, they've been awful. Their last game, they were on a bye last week, was against Philadelphia. Philadelphia, probably better than most people expect them to be, but not a good football team. They absolutely dominated the Lions. So if the Lions bring their A game, when they catch, you know, a better team, Pittsburgh is an example. They play them this week. If the Lions are fired up coming out of the bye and play the way they did a couple of times earlier this year, they can beat a Steelers team that isn't at its best. They can beat they got Atlanta later in the schedule. They got Chicago. They're going to get Green Bay at the end of the year, where the Packers will probably have the North wrapped up already and could be resting a lot of people. Who knows what's going on with Rodgers to begin with, but they're going to get one, maybe two. Look, I've covered both the teams that went 0-16. This team, while not,
that's quite the legacy. Not all
it is, man. It's story of my life. I'm a Lions fan from Cleveland.
I'm a Bills fan, so I'm right there with you, bro. We just lost to the Jags.
you would know that well. Yeah, the Lake Erie crater, man.
Yeah, the mistakes by the lake. I think we're all just a mistake by the lake. You're right. The whole Lake Erie can go F itself, man.
it's rough because I live on the shores of Lake Michigan now, like across the pond from Green Bay and Chicago, sort of like halfway in between. And I get their radio stations, and it's all positive and happy most of the time. Even the Bears, you know, radio is fairly happy even after what happened last night.
Yeah, because they think Matt Nagy's going to get fired. Yeah, I was thinking about that. So you know my pain, too. I'm a Bills fan and a diehard Michigan fan, and I didn't realize it really till after the Jags beat the Bills. I was like, that, I can't believe it. Urban Meyer just, like, beat me again. Like, Urban Meyer, I can't get away from this guy. It's unreal.
Yeah, that's some salt in the wound. But the long and short of it is, yes, I do think Detroit is going to get a win. Thanksgiving against the Bears is probably the most promising, although that hasn't gone well lately. Again, they match up well against what Pittsburgh does, believe it or not, as limited as what Jared Goff and the Lions are.
Well, you know what's crazy, Jeff, and you brought it up, is if you look, the Detroit Lions' best games have been against good teams. All right, they came on strong in the second half against the 49ers, played their hearts out, should have beaten the Ravens. You know, that 35-17 final score is a little bit deceptive, as you know. I think it was 17-17 at the half. Right, it started raining, and Jared Goff melted like the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz. That game got away from them. You mentioned a Viking game heartbreaker. So let me ask you, before we move on to some other subjects, these guys play their hearts out, and, you know, just gut-wrenching losses. We saw that literally Coach Campbell came to tears after one of these losses. What's the feeling? What's the makeup of the team now? Are they getting frustrated? That's the whole thing. Emotionally, it's tough just to show up every week when you have these gut-wrenching losses. And then last week was kind of a disappointment. So I'm curious to see how they respond this week at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so far the indication is the bye was a good time. They needed the mental break after what Philadelphia did to them.
Yeah,
but they are still, like, I've been around a lot of the Lions teams. This coaching staff has the pulse of this team. They're just not a very talented football team. They are going to get better. They are getting Taylor Decker back. They're starting left tackle. That gives with him and Penei Sewell, who's been really good at left tackle, they're moving him back to the right side where he was intended to
play. I wanted to ask you about Sewell. Has he gotten better? I know he struggled out of position a little bit, but is he starting to settle in a little bit now over the last couple of weeks?
Oh yeah, he's been pretty good. He still has trouble with guys that can beat him to his inside shoulder, but there's not a lot of guys that can do that. So he's been a very pleasant development throughout the year. Look, the Lions are loaded with ex-players as coaches, and I think that's one of the things that's helping them. They are crazy young. They're starting two undrafted rookie free agents at cornerback, and trying to get by with it. And they're actually doing okay. Like, you can see the developmental arc on these guys. So it's coming. It's coming a lot slower than a lot of us would like. But I think we all knew the prior regime that was in Detroit absolutely left insert expletive of choice here. It was really bad. The roster was in shambles. There just wasn't talent. So it's taking a year of tearing it down before they can start building it up again. They are finding some guys like Jerry Jacobs, A.J. Parker, Khalif Raymond's been a decent surprise at wide receiver. You know, they are getting some guys that are worth keeping long-term, but in all honesty, probably 25 of the guys on this roster won't be in the NFL next year. That's just where the talent void is. So they're trying hard. I'm a believer in Dan Campbell. I know the organization is fully behind him. The players love him. The opposing players have shown a lot of respect for him, which is important to me because that's not something that we're used to with Matt Patricia or Jim Caldwell or Jim Schwartz before that, or going way back. It's rough. So I'm optimistic long-term, but the short-term, again, this is a 1-16, 2-15 team this year.
I remember Lion fans used to boo Wayne Fonts when he didn't cover the point spread, right? You got to be careful. Like, you know, people, you don't know what you have until it's gone sometime. Like, I never forget, they didn't cover once, and people were sort of, like, booing after Wayne Fonts. I don't know what they're upset about.
I actually got a chance to talk to Coach Fonts over the weekend.
Amazing, really? How's he doing?
He's doing very well. We had Coach Fonts on. He actually lives, like, right next to my co-host. We got him on with Lomas Brown and Herman Morgan and Remy.
Awesome. I love Herman Moore. I love Herman.
About that, man.
Oh yeah.
It was fun to get some grounding with when the Lions were good for the Lions. I mean, they did actually win a playoff game. The only playoff game in the Super Bowl era that Detroit has won was back in 1991, and Coach Fonts loved reliving that, and it was fun reliving it with him.
We're in conversation with Jeff Risden. So I enjoyed your article, Lions Wire, USA Today, about Matt Corral and Malik Willis. So let me ask you, because it's my own personal opinion, so I'll get your take on this. If I think the Lions, you just talked about it, they're so talent depleted, yet there's building blocks. You talked about it. You got Decker. You got Sewell. And, you know, you got DeAndre Swift. You know, with Spielman and with Campbell and everybody, they want to be a physical football team. I'm just thinking you're better off just having Goff take a beating for another year. Like, wait, imagine if you had a rookie quarterback out there right now. What good would that be? Like, you have nowhere to throw the football to. It just, to me, I'd go defense. So I loved your breakdown of the quarterback. So I'm curious to see what you think they're going to do. And then as far as the quarterbacks, Malik Willis and Matt Corral, both very interesting. I'm a fan of both of them. You look at what Corral has done. He's put up the same numbers that Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield did, and they both went first overall. So there's a lot of similarities there, and you could argue the arm strength. I don't know about arm strength, but you know the NFL throws are there, as you talked about. But let me just ask you before we get into Willis and Corral and your take on it, but what about the Lions? I would go defense, bro. I would go defense and just stockpile a little bit more, not go QB. What's your take?
I am tempted by Corral at the top, but I also would go defense. They're going to pick number one or number two, depending on what happens with Houston.
Yeah.
And if they tie Houston,
Thibodeau, maybe the Karlaftis kid out of Purdue.
Oh, that guy's special. And Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan to play to your Wolverine.
Oh, yes, sir.
That guy's going high, real high, and deservingly so.
Oh, he's top 10 thing, right? Yeah, top 15, top 10.
Oh, absolutely. He could be top 5 when it's all done. He is a long-lost Bosa brother. And you look at where both of those Bosa brothers went. He's going to test better than either of them. And one of those guys went number one. I can't ever keep them straight, Nick and Joey. I know.
They're both good.
And he's right there with them. So it's tough to screw up the number one pick, especially if you go on the defensive side with this one. So I would also go defense. The question then is, do you get a guy like Corral or Willis? They're not going to be there when they pick again with whatever pick the Rams wind up with, which is probably going to be in the 20s somewhere. And, you know, they do have two first-round picks each of the next 2 years. They're also going to have the top pick of the second round. There's going to be a chance to move up, but yeah, the defense, if they can become the physical team that defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn wants them to be on defense, that's going to make life easier for whoever is at quarterback. And as unsavory as it is, the thought of covering another year of Jared Goff as the quarterback, it could be worse. It could be Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you're right. It could be. Hey, well, listen. Hey, Sean McVay could. You know, I think he's still trying to find a way to blame Jared Goff for Sunday night's loss. Hey, that was Stafford. That wasn't Goff throwing those picks. It's Jared Goff's fault. All right, listen, man. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Before I get you out of here, about the Cleveland Browns, big football game against the New England Patriots. It's sort of been an up and down roller coaster season for the Browns, but I think we all get caught up in this. And even me, Jeff, I realize I'm like, man, we're only halfway through this season right now, huh? It feels like it's been such a marathon already. Yeah, it's like we're judging these teams and this and that. I'm like, man, we're only halfway through this thing in all actuality. So there's a lot of stuff that can still happen. What's your take on the Pats and the Browns game?
You know, the Browns that we saw last weekend, they look like they got it right. And I don't know whether it was addition by subtraction with OBJ, Nick Chubb being healthy and going through it, but I tell you what, there was a different Baker Mayfield, and their defense, that's where they've been inconsistent. This is a team that has put up points before. Remember, they put up 41 against the Chargers and lost because the defense was awful. The defense was making plays. You're seeing John Johnson, formerly of the Rams, finally fitting in at safety. Anthony Walker, a linebacker, has been a big boon since he's been back and healthy. They, on paper, have one of the best cornerback groups in the league. The problem is that none of those guys have been healthy all at the same time. They sort of had that last week, and it worked really well against a pass-heavy Bengals team. It's interesting because New England is not that type of team, and I'm curious as to how they're going to match up against that. But I tell you what, the Browns team that we saw last weekend is the Browns team that everybody was thinking, hey, this team can win the Super Bowl this year. They haven't been that often enough. I think they're going to put two. I think they're stringing 2 weeks together. I think they're going to go out and get it done. And that's nothing against Bill Belichick and what he can do. But my goodness, the weaponry that the Browns have, there's a lot more there than what Bill Belichick can scheme up. And I really like the way that Baker was playing. I love the way that Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski are calling the games for him. As long as Chubb is back, he's currently out with COVID, but it sounds like he's going to be back in time. If they've got him, that's a dimension that just makes the Browns offense that much more unstoppable. So I do think they're going to get it. But I'm also curious, I've liked watching Mac Jones this year. He's been better than
advertised.
And I'm curious about how he's going to handle a defense that thrives on making people uncomfortable. Because so far he's been a pretty good job at staying comfortable, even when teams try to do that. So, as a huge Myles Garrett fan, I kind of hope that Myles gets to him. But it's going to be a fun one.
Well, I'll tell you what, as long as Nick Chubb isn't getting his vice from Joe Rogan, I think we should be okay, Jeff, on the way out here. I couldn't resist. I was low-hanging fruit.
Nothing against podcast hosts, but you probably
don't get
information from them.
No, I know you don't want to get it from me. Hey, Jeff, we got to do this again. Thanks for the time, my man.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
Now you can get the winning edge wherever you want with the Sports Grid mobile app.
Even a PTA meeting.
Your wife may or may not approve.
Yes.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-9029. 800-998-9029. 800-998-9029. That's 800-998-9029.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
1983, Marvelous Marvin Hagler retains his world middleweight boxing title with a 15-round unanimous decision over Roberto Duran.
He wouldn't come at me the way how we planned, so I had to change up. That's what a mark of a good fighter, that you can still change up in the inside. A lot of fighters can't. They're thrown off stride.
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something
rock solid.
Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Odds.
And more. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
You know what? I'm the second greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL after Tom Brady, and I was until Brady. I was the greatest ever until Brady came along. And, you know, the kid that you draft has played one game. Nothing against him, but you shouldn't have taken him. Nothing against him, though. All right? Nothing against him, though. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation. Now, this is interesting. One person, they should have put their name on this, said, I interviewed Joe Montana before the draft, and he said nothing about taking Mac Jones. This is hindsight. Should have put your name on that. 49ers general manager John Lynch has responded, well, I'm never going to argue about quarterbacking with Joe Montana, Lynch tells KNBR, but I can tell you this, we're extremely confident in Trey Lance and what he's going to be. I think we've seen glimpses of it. We're taking our time, because we have another quarterback that we believe in Jimmy. But it's also putting Trey in the best possible situation. Mac's playing right now, so I can understand why Joe said that. But we studied that hard. We made our decision, and we're still as convicted as ever that we made the right decision there. He's entitled to his opinion. We'll always respect that, but we got a ton of belief in Trey Lance, and he's going to be a tremendous player for us for a long time. I think they're both sort of right, but I said this at the time. I said, if you're the New York Jets and you were taking the second pick overall, I said, you're better off just taking Mac Jones than Zach Wilson. And, you know, check my tweets the night of the draft. And you guys know, it's one thing I do well is these drafts. And I kill the draft from a betting perspective, too. And check my tweets from that night. I said, unbelievable. I said, the New England Patriots got Mac Jones 15th, and the Jets pay all this money to Zach Wilson second, and Mac Jones is way better than he is. Now, I didn't say that about Trey Lance, right? But this is where we get into something in which this is the stubbornness of an NFL GM. You know what I mean? They'll draft kids that shoot people with BB guns and beat chicks up, and then be shocked that they beat chicks up again. Oh, I can't believe he did that. But why? Like, why don't, if somebody, like, we heard this about Mac Jones all the time. Well, man, he's the most pro ready to play. You could put him on the field right now and he can play. He can make all the NFL throws. He can, you know what I mean? But he's just not talented enough to take that high. Well, I don't know. If he's better than the other guys, then take him that high. Maybe you should stop worrying about the combine numbers, jackasses. Bring it.